The Holy Gospel is written in the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning at the 19th verse. Glory be to thee, O Lord. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send at Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee,
O Christ. From the Epistle, we brought nothing into this world, and we cannot take anything out of it. I speak to you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen. In last week's sermon, I talked about mammon. Mammon is, of course, a word used in the Bible to describe money and material things. It is all the things of this world of which we say we have possession. In the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord had told his disciples, You cannot serve God, both God and mammon. Divided loyalty, as you already know, does not work. Now, the parable in the Gospel last week told of the unjust steward who gave away part of his master's assets in order to gain friends for himself, sympathizers, who would take him in when he was removed from office. Our Lord's admonition is to make for ourselves friends of the unrighteous mammon. And I described in my sermon how William Tyndale, the great English reformer, argued that this really applies to the poor. It's the poor that we're to make friends of in this life. To paraphrase Tyndale, use your money to supply the wants of the poor. And this concrete love for those in need will be the outward sign of your inward and true faith in God. It is not that, of course, that money or mammon is evil. Rather, our Lord calls it unrighteous because it leads us into temptation. Consider the words of St. Paul this morning. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation. Notice how he words that. It doesn't say those who are rich fall into temptation. He says those who desire to be rich fall into temptation. You see, as St. Augustine pointed out, it's possible to be rich and to be greedy. We know that. But it's also possible to be poor and to be greedy. In each case, you're thinking that money or material possessions, whether you possess them or not, will give you lasting happiness. Our readings this morning continue on this theme of mammon. Now, the problem with mammon is really an identity problem. In our VBS this summer, we talked about how the crux of the story of the Tower of Babel is really an identity struggle. Those who build the tower, we are told, build in order to, quote, make a name for themselves. They were building fame. They were building earthly reputation. Now, in the next story that follows in the book of Genesis, the story of the patriarch Abraham, the Lord calls him to leave his land and go to the land of promise, and he tells Abraham that he will bless him and give him a name. He will give him a name. This is the truth that the Bible stresses. It is not you and I who get to decide who we truly are. We don't forge our identity through a long voyage of self-discovery. Rather, it is God who tells us who we truly are. He gives you a name. You are his creature. You are made in his image so that you are endowed with reason, with creativity, and the ability to choose between right and wrong. You are also, according to the Bible, a wayward sinner who has run away from your Creator again and again. But most of all, you are, by adoption and by grace, a child of God, dearly beloved. Today's readings speak a powerful word to us because they speak about this question of identity. Your identity, my identity, does not come from mammon, from things. You are not what you own. Now, we live, of course, in a society that largely lives by such metrics. There is a reason why they are called status symbols. But the happiness material wealth can give us is tenuous at best. The material thing breaks, the money is lost or squandered, and most importantly, inanimate things don't give the lasting happiness that we so desire. They don't fill in that empty void within us, the void and the desire that we have for love, for joy, and for communion with others. Now, the epistle opens with a commonplace truism that I think is all too easy to forget. We brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. It's similar, of course, to the story of Job. You may recall that in that narrative, Job lost first his possessions and then his family on the same day. And then following, he lost perhaps the most unnerving thing of all, his good health. Many ancient commentators made a lot of the fact that after all this calamity, Job still had his wife. But Job recognized that all these transitory things, his possessions, family, and health, are just gifts of God, gifts that in this temporal, in this mortal life, have to have a termination. After his wife incites Job to curse God, he famously says, "The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." To put that on another level, there was a country song a few years back that put it this way: "I ain't never seen a hearse with a luggage rack." If you believe in that greater life, and your hope and identity is in the things that you can't take out of this world, you are bound to be disappointed. You're bound to be broken by the things you trust in so much. Mammon is a god that can seem to give a lasting and quick high, but it will cast you down with blind cruelty. In the reading and the lessons from Amos and the Gospel of Luke, I couldn't help but think of our Lord's words last week in that gospel, a gospel that directly preceded today's gospel. You may remember he told his listeners, "Make to yourselves friends of the unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations." It was about making friends. And I wonder what Abraham would say to the rich man and to the rich in Samaria about making friends. Are those who, as Amos says, are lying on beds of ivory, who stretch complacently on their couches, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp, do you think these are making friends with their poor, with using their unrighteous mammon? Or are they making friends of themselves? In fact, they expend what they have in pleasing themselves and their own comfort, while the great suffering and pain and injustice surround them in the city of Samaria. The same thing could be said of the rich man in the parable of Lazarus. What friends does he have who will testify of his faith that he's gained with his unrighteous mammon? He certainly does not have a friend in the poor man Lazarus, who has his sores licked by stray dogs. It has often been pointed out that Lazarus is the only figure in one of our Lord's parables who has a name given to him. And this is really significant because Lazarus in our Lord's day and in our own day would be someone that would be nameless. It would be that homeless person, that poor man. But of course, God views the world in a very different way than we do it. And that what the person that might be nameless in the world, in fact, is prized, is treasured by God, has a name given him by our Lord. So, my friends, two questions for you. Where is your identity? Is it in the perishing things of this world? Or is it in the fact that you are a child of God, loved completely by the Lord? In addition, is there a person in your life that is nameless, a Lazarus, if you will, to whom you could extend in the name of the Lord a few crumbs? Maybe it's a kind word, an encouragement or counsel, or just a helping hand that we all need from time to time. Now, our society might say that people are expendable, but this idea, of course, can be given no quarter in the gospel. Perhaps, my friends, we should start seeing the world upside down, as God does, where those who are nameless are loved and they're treasured. They find a home in the family of God, and they find a home in God's kingdom. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, amen.